Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Member of Congress with whom I am very pleased to say we've had the privilege to work closely and for whom I have the greatest of admiration is Congressman Michael Pompeo. He represents the people of the 4th District of Kansas in the United States House of Representatives. He's had a distinguished record of public service going back to his time as the first in his class graduate of West Point, a cavalry officer in the United States Army, in the business private sector, now in the United States Congress, where he is one of the country's real leaders on matters involving national security and, in particular, intelligence and on energy issues as well. Michael Pompeo, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, sir.
Frank, it's great to be with you.
Let me ask you, if I may, first and foremost, Congressman, about the efforts you've been making on the ground, as it were, to prevent something we talked about with your colleague, Congresswoman Vicky Hartzler, earlier in the program, namely the Hydra, if I may use that expression, the movement, the transfer of jihadists, known jihadists from Guantanamo Bay, where they've been detained, into places like perhaps Fort Leavenworth in Kansas.
Frank, we've been working hard all across America, especially in Kansas, to make everyone's voice heard about what a bad idea it would be to transfer known jihadists, folks who real blood has been shed to capture. Last week, I, along with Congresswoman Lynn Jenkins, held a town hall meeting at the gates of Fort Leavenworth, listening to the community about what it would mean to them, what that would look like. Not just about not in my backyard. They certainly don't want it there. But they had a deep understanding of the risk that's associated to national security to bring folks to the United to U.S. territory where every plaintiff's lawyer in the world will work to set them free, and jihadists will begin to find a target here in America as well. There are lots of domestic reasons it's bad, in addition to all the horrible foreign policy reasons to close down Guantanamo Bay.
You've also written a bipartisan letter opposing this. I congratulate you for that, Mike Pompeo. But let me ask you, in our conversation with Vicky Hartzler, she described an investigation she's just conducted on the release of five particularly dangerous detainees, namely the folks called the Taliban Five, in exchange for Bo Bergdahl a few years ago. And the fact that the president violated the law in doing that in numerous ways. You now have several other laws on the books that would prohibit him from bringing these people to the United States. Do you expect him to violate that law as well? And what can Congress do to prevent such a thing?
Frank, we talked about a lot about that at the town hall. We had 100-plus people show up in the middle of the day on a Friday to talk about just that. They were confounded. They'd say, you all made it unlawful. And we'd say, we did it in multiple ways. We'll do it again this week. We'll vote on another provision to make it unlawful again. And yet we've watched the president behave in this way consistently over my 5 years in Congress, who just says, well, you write something down, and I'm going to ignore it. Look, there are a few folks who are bigger believers in the power of a president under Article II, but this crosses a boundary that is, I can't imagine that there'd be any lawyer support. And so we are concerned, in spite of the fact that the president's own attorney general said that it would be illegal to close Guantanamo Bay and bring detainees to the United States, that this president will go fulfill his campaign promise, one of the last ones left on his list to tick off over the next year and bring them back to the United States. It would present enormous risk to the country.
Well, it would. And I want also to salute you, Mike Pompeo, for your leadership in another area. You enlisted a number of your colleagues who, like you, have served in uniform to really put a marker down with the United States military that this could constitute an unlawful order. And I hope that'll be another break on the president's action in this regard.
We do, too. It's unconscionable to put our military leaders in this position where the commander-in-chief asks of them something that is clearly unlawful. And my intention was not to put pressure on those amazing soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, but rather to inform everyone that you can't ask folks in the military to execute an unlawful order. And I hope that they understand that there are members of Congress who have their back in the event that they choose to make a decision that comports with their duty.
Let me turn to another topic on which you've been very importantly engaged, Congressman Pompeo. You and your colleague, Senator Tom Cotton, really led in the debate about this so-called Iran deal, becoming less and less of a deal all the time. Bad deal to begin with, and now not even a deal, according to the State Department. But you were warning about the role of the International Atomic Energy Agency and side deals and the like. Talk, if you would, about what the latest shenanigan has been out of the IEA with respect to the so-called nuclear program file of Iran.
Frank, I've tried to make it a hallmark of my life not to say I told you so. But what happened just yesterday is exactly what I feared back last summer when we were trying to convince this administration not to move forward with giving the Ayatollah the capacity for a nuclear weapons program. Yesterday, the IAEA essentially looked the other way. It conducted an investigation into the history of the Iranian nuclear weaponization program. It found that they lied, that they deceived, that they in fact had a program. Iran continues to deny that they had a weaponization program. And in spite of that deceit, the fraud that the Iranians committed during that verification component of the deal, the IAEA voted unanimously to let them off the hook and close the file and begin the process that allows the president to relieve sanctions on this terror regime. But having said that, we now saw what this watchdog did. It became a lapdog. The president said himself that we can't trust the Iranians, we have to verify. And the verification actors have now shown their complete unwillingness to hold the Iranians accountable.
That's for sure. And as you say, Mike, the real concern here is the president also said that when we do have issues like this arise, we'll catch them. And then we will force these sanctions to snap back. And I can only take from your point that there was a unanimous vote of the IEA that the American representative was among those supporting this kind of rollover.
No, you've got it right. I read Mr. Ensher, who is our representative of the IEA, imploring him to acknowledge what the IAEA wrote, which was that the Iranians did not comport with their obligation about the possible military dimensions of their program, and was duly ignored. It's not a personal affront. It's an enormous, enormous deterioration in America's capacity to do nuclear proliferation verification around the world. I assure you, other countries are watching this.
Just in the closing couple of minutes, Mike, I'd like to ask you about this past week, the terrific outside group Judicial Watch came up with a letter that I gather the committee actually had in its files that makes it pretty darn clear that we've been lied to by Leon Panetta and I think Hillary Clinton, certainly others, that there was nothing that could possibly have been done by the United States military to help those poor folks on the ground in Benghazi on September 11th, 2012. We now know that, in fact, there were options that they were, quote, spinning up to engage. And what happened? Where did that letter go in the opportunities that you've had to interview Hillary Clinton and others? And have we, in fact, been lied to?
Craig, we'll get a chance. So we did, in fact, have that email. The committee's had it for a period of time. We have had a chance to ask a handful of witnesses about it. We still have a number of witnesses, including some of the most senior leaders at CIA and Department of Defense to come before our committee after the first of the year. And we will get all of the answers about that. It is very clear from that email and others that we've spoken to that the military did have resources, and there's lots of disagreement, even within those military folks, about how quickly they could have gotten there, precisely what the restrictions might have been. I mean, real restrictions. Just can't physically cover the ground. But what we know, I think, without a doubt, is we didn't accomplish the most important mission. So when you have a man down, you move heaven and earth to go get that man or woman back to safety. And that means moving everything as quickly as you can, as fast as you can, regardless of the risks associated with that. And we didn't do that. It was simply the case that the administration appears to have failed to take on that most fundamental task, which is if you send someone into harm's way, you have an obligation to do all that you can to ensure that they are brought back safely.
Just very quickly, yes or no answer. I gather from what you've said that the committee will not finish its work by the end of the year. It will continue into next year.
That's correct, sir. I'm hoping we're wrapped up by the spring, but we're not going to quit until we've done all that our duty requires.
We expect nothing less, needless to say, of you, Congressman Michael Pompeo, member of the House Select Committee on Intelligence and Select Committee on Benghazi. Thanks so much for your time with us today, Mike. Keep up the good work. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Derek Scissors joins us to talk about TPP and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.